morning to each one this morning. Greet each one in our Master's name this morning. As we look at the calendar this morning, or we know that today is Mother's Day, a day that mothers are honored, and rightly so, as they as we think of all that the mothers do, continue to do, the influence that the mothers have in all of our lives from little on up. Certainly, we want to honor them this morning and show them our gratitude. Also, happy birthday to Trina, 21 years, and Lord bless you as you face the year ahead. Title of the message this morning is Five Key Elements of Motherhood. As I was thinking along the line of Mother's Day and what to bring, number of questions went through my mind, and you know, outside of the element of bringing children into the world, the question that came to mind was, well, why did God create mothers? And someone once said that God created mothers because God couldn't be everywhere all the time. And we know that God is everywhere present and so on, but we kind of understand where that comes from. But as I pondered that a little bit and thought about where I want to go with the sermon this morning, I guess my answer to that question, why did God create mothers this morning, is to put God's love and God's attributes on display. There are many attributes of God that are found in the life of a godly mother. And one of the interesting things about how God has created man and through the salvation and redemption plan, we realize that God's attributes are available to mankind. And a godly mother puts many of those attributes on display. Now, perhaps a little bit on the lighter side here at the beginning. You think of attributes of God, what do you think about? You think of omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. And you say, well, does a mother have those attributes? Well, what does omnipresent mean? It means she's everywhere present. Just about the time you got your hand in the cookie jar, mother showed up. Johnny, keep your hand out of the cookie jar. Or the time that you came home late and you thought you could sneak quietly into the house, unobserved, unnoticed. And just as you opened the bedroom door, Johnny, you're busted. Mother shows up everywhere all the time sometimes. Or perhaps it's a pinched finger or an injured knee. And is not mother often right there present all the time? How many of you had a mother that was omniscient? You thought you could get away with a little white lie, but mother knew. Or you're going through some internal struggle and you thought you have it all handled and covered and nobody knows. And here comes mother offering a word of support and encouragement that reveals that mother knew exactly what you were going through. Somehow, mother always seems to know what's going on inside of us. How many of us had a mother that was omnipotent? She would give you an assignment. She'd send you out to do it, and you'd struggle. You'd do everything in your power to do it, and you'd finally give up and say, that's impossible. Mother comes over, and poof, it's done. And she makes it look so easy. Or perhaps you've observed a mother with a baby in one arm, carrying about all the tasks and duties of life, watching in amazement at all that she can get done in one day. Yes, mothers, you are amazing, and we love you and honor you today. I want to look at some of these attributes of God that a godly mother possesses. As we think about the gateway that God has given us into who He is, into the character and nature of God, He has given to mother access to His divine character. And a godly mother, in many ways, lives them out before her children, before families, friends, and others. As we think about that, my mind went to the infinity of God. Yes, we know that mothers are, in their human capacity, limited in some ways. God is not. God is immeasurably great. God is unlimited in every way. And yet this same infinity of God that is immeasurable is available. And we as Christian people have access to that infinity through the Trinity. We have access to the infinity and the greatness of God, all that He is. And it's an enormous gift to mankind, and more specifically as we think of mothers this morning. God has given us a tremendous opportunity. We cannot become God Himself, but we can become what God wants us to be. We have access to all of the resources that God has provided for us. And mothers then can be so special when they tap into those resources and make them available and live them out in their lives before their children and their families. What are some of those attributes? And many of these things that we'll talk about this morning we're very familiar with and we think of often, and yet just as a tribute to mothers, we want to reflect on them a little this morning. Some of the greatest attributes of God that we see on display. The attribute of love. The attribute of compassion. The attribute of being a comforter, being caring, and the list could go on and on as we reflect on all these things that a godly mother does. If you stop and think about why you love your mother so much, or why you respect a godly mother so much, all of the things that will come to your mind that are good that you appreciate about your mother, you will be able to attribute them to God Himself. That's where they come from. And that's why as we think about motherhood and the foundation for a godly motherhood, it's so important to have a life that is surrendered to God, a life that is filled with obedience to God, a life that is living under God's will, direction, and command. If we do that, it's a life that is loved and respected by all those who look on. As we reflect the attributes of God in and through life as a mother and as fathers as well, as we reflect outward any of those attributes, they will always be respected, loved, and adored. Because the attributes of God, the goodness of God, is always good. It is never negative. It is always good. Those attributes they always make us a better person, and they always raise the level of respect and so on in our life as we live them out and practice them in our everyday walk and action. And as we think about that, you know, you hear story after story about the impact of a mother on a child, and maybe it's a wayward son for many, many years, and how he comes back to the Lord, and they always reflect on the great impact that a mother had in their life. And you dig a little deeper, and where did that impact come from? It's a mother that's heart is right with the Lord, a mother who is God-fearing, a mother who prays, a mother that lives godly before their children. So there it is, the attributes of God being lived out and practiced and touching many a young life that touches their heart and their life and has an impact for years to come. I want to look at five areas of motherhood this morning. The first one I want to look at is a mother's presence. Stop and reflect on your life as a child and think about the times that your mother simply being there meant so much. A mother's presence. Those first couple steps across the living room floor. Someone there to make sure you don't fall and make sure you don't hurt yourself. Maybe it's waking up in the middle of the night to a scary dream. And it's mother's presence there at the edge of the bed that provides the comfort needed to go back to sleep. Perhaps a thunderstorm is rumbling across the sky. And it frightens a little one. But mother's presence calms the storm in their heart. Maybe it's a pinched finger. Maybe it's an injured feeling. Maybe it's, and the list could go on and on. How much we rely on, appreciate, and value the presence of a mother. Reflect now with me for a moment. What does it feel like when mother is not there? When mother is not home? So maybe you just come home from school and you're used to mother being there every day. And the time that you come home and mother's not there, what do? Well, you kind of feel a little bit lost and you wander around the house, not quite sure what to do next. There's just something about mother's not home. Her presence is not there. It leaves a vacancy. It leaves a feeling of emptiness. Maybe it feels dull and cold because mother's not home. A mother is queen of her house. Her presence brings to it life. It radiates love, shows joy, provides warmth and comfort, and is a source of inspiration and encouragement. As we think about the presence of a mother and the feelings that we associate so closely with that, then there is a part to play on the part of a child as well. Does not a child need to draw near to the mother to experience that presence, to experience those feelings of comfort and love and so on that come from that relationship? Yes, we depend on her in so many ways, and yet there's an element of in our life as a child that we need to draw near to mother to be able to enjoy the benefits of the presence of a mother. So we need to, just as we do with God, there's a need to seek for her. There's a need to desire to be with her. There's the thought of being kind to her, speaking kindly to her, of loving her, to responding correctly to her. And all of those aspects are part of drawing near to her in our relationship so that we will benefit from her presence as we relate to her. And as we think about all those things, isn't it amazing how that a godly mother is like God from that standpoint? That God desires the same thing. He desires for us to seek Him. He desires for us to be near Him, to communicate with Him, to love Him, to respond correctly to His correction in our life. And if we do all of those things, just like a mother-child relationship grows and develops by that association and that relationship, it's the same way between us and God our Father. Sadly, there are times when children may look at their mother as only a convenience. What do I mean by that? And I'll try to use illustration here. Don't take these illustrations wrong. But, you know, to some, mother becomes a refrigerator. She's just the one that puts food on the table. They don't have any deeper relationship with mother than that. She provides food. They don't invest any effort into building a relationship with their mother. When they're hungry, they know where they need to go. But beyond that, what relationship do they encourage and develop? To others, mother is like a car. I need a ride to get somewhere. Mother, please take me. To others, she's a maid when the clothes need washed. Looking at mother is only a convenience, and how sad it is if our relationship with our mother is simply that. God has intended for it to be much deeper than that, much closer than that, and there's a part to play on both sides in developing that relationship and bond that makes our mother so much more than just a convenience. As I pondered that a moment, I will ask the question, does God ever feel like I treat Him that way? Does God ever feel used just like a convenience? We only go to Him when we're hungry, or we only go to Him when we need out of a jam, or when it's a tough spot in life. We use God just as a convenience factor to get us through the difficulties of life, and certainly God has not intended it to be that way. God wants to be present in our life, in every aspect of our life, and in our relationship. So as we think of this thought of a mother's presence, it has been a source of inspiration for many a man's dreams. A mother's presence has brought many a wayward son back home. A mother's presence has been the source of comfort, joy, and peace, and a place of refuge for many in the journey of life. A mother's presence. Secondly, I want to think about the thought of a mother's counsel. A child's first teacher is mother. From her lips come the instructions of life from little on up, from the songs that are sung to the Bible stories that are read, the verses that she helps memorize. From very beginning of life on, a mother gives counsel and advice. From a godly mother's lips come the most sacred lessons learned in life. A mother's counsel may be the calm voice in the storm. A mother's counsel may be the voice in the hour of temptation that helps to keep a child on a straight and narrow way. Perhaps you're facing discouragement or doubts in life? Is it a mother's voice or a mother's counsel or something that she taught us early in life that helps us to steel our resolve and our commitment, that helps us to maintain that which we believe and want to hold dear? It helps us to strengthen our resolve, as it were. When discouraged, do her words bring us inspiration and comfort? The counsel of a godly mother. Many a stubborn and rebellious son who could defy his father was turned back from his wicked way at the thought of causing his mother's tears. Many a hard man has melted under the loving gaze of a godly mother as he reflects on the instructions that were given to him, knowing that he was rebelling against truth. Perhaps his heart melts at the voice of a mother. The loving counsel of a godly mother can be one of the greatest deterrents to rebellion. It's all about, as a mother, as we relate to children, as you instill in them carefully instill in them the instructions of life, the principles that God has taught, as you carefully place them into their heart, how that's done and how that is reinforced is such a deterrent to rebellion and to the hardening of the heart of man. A mother's counsel. Thirdly, I want to look at the thought of a mother's discipline. We think about mothers, we think often of their love and their compassion, their mercy and their kindness, and all of that is very right and proper. And because that is all instilled within the heart of a mother, one of the greater tests of a godly mother is to exercise discipline, to carry out discipline in the life of a child. And yet she knows that if she doesn't do that, that what is the end result? And Proverbs tells us the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. It's not easy for mothers to have to discipline. And I realize that many times they carry a lot of responsibility in this area. And I realize that a mother is often with her children more hours than a father is. But I hope this morning that as dads that we step up and do our part. We have a tremendous role to do to back up mother's discipline when we're not there, but perhaps more importantly, to take the primary role of being a disciplinarian in our home and accepting that responsibility and taking that burden, lightening the load of the mother in that area. It needs to be a working together in a home life of the mother and the father communicating and working together to carry out discipline and giving instruction and holding accountability and so on and so forth in the life of the children. It takes both a father and a mother for that to work well. But as we focus on mothers this morning, it's such a critical a role that starts early in life as well. Turn with me to Hebrews 12, and we'll see that this too is an aspect of God. It's an attribute of God that comes out through not only the mother but also the father. But as we think of mothers this morning, Hebrews chapter 12. It says, verse 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had the fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? We see here the aspect of discipline and the chastening of a child. It comes from the heart of God. And God himself, as he looks down on you and I, as we are his sons and daughters, there are times of chastisement in our life, times where we are need to be rebuked, where we need to be held accountable for our actions, and that is coming from the heart of God. Why is that? Well, it's because God sees our end if we continue in that path. And so it is in the heart of a mother as she looks on to the life of a child and she sees him telling lies or whatever it is. There's that desire because she knows where that will end and what that will lead to. And out of that concern and love for the child, then comes the need to discipline and to hold them accountable. And we just realize that, again, this is an attribute of God that is exercised through the life of a godly mother. Number four, a mother's silence. A mother's silence. Was there ever a time when you were growing up as a young child when you did something wrong and you knew it? And mother's there and mother doesn't say a word. And you just wish she would say something. You wish mom would just let it out and deal with it. Mother chooses to be silent because she knows sometimes that the silence is more powerful than a word spoken. The silence of a godly mother, used appropriately, is priceless. When a child is troubled or in trouble, he doesn't always need someone bombarding him with a lot of questions. Why'd you do that? And on and on and on. We can think of a lot of questions that come up sometimes. Or sometimes there's a tendency to try to explore and to dig deep into the feelings of a child and try to understand their feelings. What were they feeling when they were going? There's a time for that, but there's also a time just to be quiet. Children don't have the capacity of reason until they get into their adolescent years or early teens. And trying to explore all of this feeling and all of these questions that we can bombard our children with in early years is fruitless because they don't have the ability to reason like we do as adults. So there is a time to just let that go and to just train and coach in a way that deals with the issue and allows us to move on. Sometimes all the child needs is a tender touch. Maybe the opportunity to just crawl up into their lap and cry it out. To be hugged, to be loved. A mother's silence can speak to many a need. You see, a godly mother knows that God is bigger than any of her problems. God is also bigger than any of Johnny's problems. And a quiet mother is one that first takes it to the Lord in prayer. A quiet, a silent mother so to speak, is a praying mother. One who knows God can handle her problems today. The opposite you can picture in your mind, the scene of a frantic mother asking a million questions that cannot be answered because he can't put his feelings into words. He doesn't reason or understand all that is being said. Or a mother who is criticizing and berating him for doing it again, and I told you not to. So it serves you right to get hurt this time. That kind of an attitude is very hurtful in the life of a child, and we're just better off to be silent than to speak those kind of words. Is a mother who is frantic and berating a child, is she trusting in God to help her with the needs of the moment, of the hour? Is she seeing God at work in her heart? Is she seeing God at work in the life of the child? How does God respond? How does God respond when I'm in trouble? Does he probe the wound even deeper, trying to figure out what's going on, why we did what we did, and what are we thinking when we're doing this, and all of that? Does he probe that wound? Does he make it hurt even more? Or does he just simply heal the hurt? God asks no questions, utters no reproach, and demands no explanations. And I think as parents we can learn from that as we see how God relates to us and what he does for us in our times of trouble and difficulty. And then as we express that outwardly through the life of our children, it can be very powerful. Silence can be such a healing balm. Silent sympathy, a tender touch, again that presence and love that is expressed in how a mother can just simply be there, be silent, and yet be all that a child needs to calm a troubled heart. You see, God is very much like that. We don't get verbal responses from God, yet when we yet we still go to him, and we share our deepest troubles with him, and we come away comforted because we rest in God. We go to God, we find a quiet place when we're troubled the most. Sometimes we've got to get away from all the hustle and bustle of life and do like Jesus did, go up into the mountain and pray. And there in the solitude of the hour, God speaks in silence to our hearts. And a mother's love can be much like that. We sang the song this morning, there is a place of quiet rest. Where? Near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet. There is a place of full release. A place where all is joy and peace. Where? Near to that heart of God. Her love outlasts all human love. Her faith endures the conquest's hardest test. Her grace and patience through a lifetime prove that she's a friend, the noblest and the best. And as we think again of that thought of the silence of a mother, just being there, that trusted friend in every struggle of life, prove that mother is the noblest and the best many times. And fifthly and lastly here, we have the thought of a mother's sympathy. Where does a child usually run first when they've done something wrong? To mother or to dad? And why? Well, many times we find that it's mother first. Why? Because mother can connect quickly through her sympathy and love. Many times mothers are the greatest confidants, being able to share with them anything that's going on in her heart. A place where one can go that has made mistakes and still be loved and accepted. And I trust that as dads were that way too. But a mother may have an edge on us as fathers in being able to connect in times of hurting, at times that a father may not always be able to. A mother may not always be able to make it go away. You know, the hurt or the need or the problem that they're facing, they may go to mother first. Mother may not be able to make it all go away. It may take dad, or it may be something else that needs to intervene in the situation. And yet, mothers are often the first place of refuge because of the sympathy and empathy that they express many times is such a soothing balm to one who is hurting. Turn with me to John chapter 14. Again, I just want to show how that a mother is reflecting what God Himself has done. We think of this thought of of sympathy, or being a sympathizer, or a comforter, so to speak. We'll find here that God also is a comforter. And we see in John 14, verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever." And we know there that Jesus is talking to His disciples, and how that Jesus would go away, and He promises then that He would send them a comforter, so that He would be able to abide with them forever. And we know that the blessing of the Holy Spirit is everywhere present and can meet all of our needs. Dropping down to verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Again, God Himself modeling that thought of comforting the heart and being there in times of need. Now come over to chapter 16, verse 7. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment," and so on. We have the verses there of the Comforter coming. So we know that He is available in our lives today. 2 Corinthians now, chapter 7. Second Corinthians 7, verse 5. "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. They were in trouble. There was turmoil about them. Their flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more." Notice the picture that's playing out here. It's a picture in the life of the church, and we could compare this to things that mothers do as well. But we see here that as there was times of trouble and unrest and fighting going on, and there was fear and anxiety, that God moved in. And he comforted those that were cast down. And he says in verse 7, "And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning." So the thought there of comforting one another and dealing with all the struggles of life, God is there for us, comforting those that are cast down. Isaiah 66, verse 13, the Lord compares himself there to a mother. He says, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you." And 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 3 tells us that God is the God of all comfort. He is that source of comfort. So again, as mothers exercise comfort, one of the attributes of God, it is simply exhibiting what God has modeled himself and putting it in everyday shoe leather before their children and their families. Second Corinthians 1 verse 4, it said, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And it's a picture of the church. As we receive comfort of God, then we can comfort others. And so it is in the life of a mother. As her heart is comforted, as she trusts in the Lord and finds comfort in Him in the struggles and trials of life, it is out of that that the river of comfort flows into the lives of children and the family round about. So we see that as we look at these few scripture verses and these thoughts this morning, that all of these elements of what makes a godly mother so precious to us come from the heart of God Himself. So mothers this morning, as you continue in the calling that God has given you, which let no one discourage you in that or cast any doubt that it is the greatest calling of mankind to be a mother, to have such an important imprint in the lives and hearts of children. I just want to encourage you in that this morning. In closing, I want to read a little poem here on a praying mother, written by Jesse Bell Tabes. It says, "As we think of many a blessing God hath given from above, every earthly tie possessing are but symbols of His love. How the blessed name of mother speaks to us of love divine, for on earth there is none other can so closely hearts entwine. Long ago there stood one mother by a rough and cruel cross, watching there the dying Savior bearing all earth's pain and loss. And His tender words then spoken to that mother weeping there are to us a sacred token of our Savior's love and care. Mother love, oh who can fathom height or depth of earth and skies, for it reaches to God's heaven, in its depth His mercy lies. Oh, these patient praying mothers, let us give to them today loving words and fragrant flowers. Let us bless them while we may. Some today have crossed the portal and are waiting in God's home, waiting with a love immortal for their loved on earth to come. Though we cannot bring them flowers, we can walk the path they trod. Oh, these precious praying mothers, we can love and serve their God."